You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We're going to start the show with Starbucks. On Tuesday, the company will close 8,000 stores to conduct racial bias training for 175,000 workers. That, of course, follows the outrage after two black men were arrested in a Philadelphia Starbucks while they were waiting for a friend. Recently, companies have embraced bias trainings as a way to get ahead of or get out from under similar incidents. But we wanted to know whether these trainings really work and how companies measure their effectiveness. So we have Khalil Smith. He's the head of diversity and inclusion practice at the Neuro Leadership Institute, and he works with a number of big companies. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
You know, I read some of your work, and you were making the argument that often trainings, particularly mandatory trainings, can be counterproductive. How do you run one that's effective?
One of the reasons that mandatory training and just a lot of diversity or unconscious bias training in general is ineffective is because at times it can increase what we would refer to as difference focus, calling out, you've got this group over here and this group over here, and we want you all to appreciate how different you are. Mm. And while that can sound wonderful, what it actually does from a kind of psychological standpoint is it creates in-groups and out-groups. In a lot of other instances, it makes one party feel really bad about certain behaviors and potentially makes another party feel like they have been robbed of power or that they have been told that you're kind of weak and incapable of taking care of yourself. And so if we just change the entire infrastructure, then everything will be better. The best type of training is one that helps people recognize that bias is natural. Bias in and of itself is not necessarily a bad thing. What we want to do is mitigate it selectively when it's not productive.
When we think about this in the context of Starbucks or any other big company, they are often trying to do this and make money at the same time. How do you do this in a way that, you know, is cost effective, or is that even possible? Like, do you need, you know, ongoing training in the office with people all the time?
Yeah, it's a great question. And you don't necessarily need ongoing training. What you do need are ongoing behaviors. Mm-hmm. And so you can take the analogy of going to the gym and trying to get healthy. It's a matter of like, do I need a gym membership? Well, a gym membership will help you. But if all you do is say, I'm not going to change how I eat, I'm not going to change any other activity, I'm just going to go to the gym every now and then, you're probably not going to see the results that you ultimately want. And unconscious bias training is very similar, as if you just institute a training and then you go back to doing exactly what you were doing before, you're not going to actualize the real benefits of the training. And then what really comes in is to follow through. If you see a senior leader in your business who is demonstrating bias, whether unconsciously or consciously, do you really believe enough in what you're trying to accomplish that you would call that leader out despite the other wonderful things that they might be doing?
You really dig into the idea of building habits, not intentions, which I think is particularly interesting. You know, often in conversations, particularly around race, you have a white person on the defensive says, well, that's not what I believe. And what I found interesting about some of the work you do is you're like, it kind of doesn't matter. It matters what you do.
In a lot of ways, and this may be controversial, I actually don't care what you believe, whether you believe that all people are created equal and yet in your actions you don't demonstrate that, or quite honestly, if you believe the opposite of that, because ultimately the gap between intentions and actions is where so much gets lost in translation. And so we teach people quite often, how can you be more aware of what you're saying, what you're doing, the way that you're coming across, so that you are enabling other people to really understand your intent, because that transparency is super helpful for people.
You obviously are a believer in these trainings. For people who aren't or who are listening to this and who are skeptical, how can you measure that they work?
There are any number of things. I mean, a quick search online would show you thousands of results from really reputable organizations that have clearly identified that increasing the diversity of your organization decreasing the bias of your decisions and increasing the quality of inclusive behaviors throughout your organization has significant benefits in any number of ways. And so those can be things like increased employee retention, which drives down costs. It can be increased employee engagement, which will also help with things like discretionary effort, that people put more effort into the work that you do. It increases creativity. It decreases absenteeism. And when you look at boards that have a wider representation of diversity, not just all female or all male, they wind up performing in the top quartile in their industries. And so there is just a wealth of information that demonstrates that this is really beneficial. I think where the question really comes in is, can you deliver unconscious bias training and then just walk away and say, great, we checked the box, we're done?
Right.
And the answer is no. You can't.
So what do you do?
Starbucks is doing the right thing by saying, we recognize there's a challenge. We're going to close our stores at a significant cost to ourselves. But if they stop there and don't also think about what are the habits that we want to see day to day, what are the actual behaviors that we're going to coach people to and support them with and clearly articulate? And then on top of that, what are the things that the company has put in place that will help me make the optimal decision as often as possible? If you say this unconscious bias training is super important, and then on May 30th, after it's done, we never hear a word of it again, if you stop there, you're missing the larger picture and you're missing true behavior change.
Khalil Smith, Head of Diversity and Inclusion Practice at the NeuroLeadership Institute. Thank you so much for your time.
Lizzie, thank you so much.
You can head on over to marketplace.org to read more about the business of bias training over the years.